Let's talk economics now. It's a pleasure to be joined in the studio by Khatija Haque, who's an economist and head of MENA research at Emirates NBD. Khatija, good morning. Let's begin where you and I finished the week last week. Thursday morning, we were looking ahead to a huge day in Europe, the European Central Bank. We were all hoping that Mario Draghi, the boss of the Central Bank, would get his bazooka out to try and fix Europe's problems. Did he?
Well, they made a lot of announcements, and to be fair, it's probably as much as you could have expected from the ECB, given the constraints within which they operate. But certainly the market was underwhelmed by what was announced. When we look into the detail, there's not a huge amount more that they've added. And consequently, the euro pretty much ended the week where it started. It didn't really have much impact on the currency at all.
So let's just recap what they actually did.
Okay, so the ECB cut the benchmark refinancing rate by 10 basis points, which was in line with expectations. So that's now dropped to 0.15%. They've also cut deposit rates to negative territory. So that also was 10 basis points in line with expectations. Effectively, this means that banks in the Eurozone have to pay the ECB if they put money on deposit with the central bank. And this is pretty much the first time any of the major central banks have gone down this route. And the aim of that is to try and encourage banks to lend the cash to companies and to other banks rather than simply putting it on deposit at the central bank. The ECB also announced a new loan program, again, to try and incentivize banks to extend credit to the private sector and stimulate growth. And finally, they announced they would no longer going to be able to sterilize bond purchases that they were doing in the secondary market.
The sterilizing of bond purchases reminds me of, I think it was Tom Keene at Bloomberg last week, called it vasectomy economics. The sterilization of bond programs. Maybe we'll leave that one for another day. In simple terms, there was quite a bit of criticism of this. I heard, was it Danny Blanchflower, who used to be a policymaker at the Bank of England, now he's a professor in America. He said, we were doing this at the Bank of England in 2009. They were doing it at the Fed in 2010. And now, finally, Europe's doing it 5 years too late.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the big criticism. And not only is it the timing, but it's also the extent of it. So one of the research notes that we saw at the end of last week basically said that the amount of, it's technically quantitative easing, not sterilizing bond purchases, but the amount that they're doing it by is 1.7% of GDP. If you look at what the Bank of England and what the Fed did, it was around 25% of GDP. So, you know, not only is it too late, but really it's hardly anything at all.
So what could Europe do in addition to this? As well as looking at the actions the ECB took, everyone looks at the statement or the press conference that Mario Draghi gives afterwards for some kind of clues or hints as to what else he's got up his sleeve a little bit further down the road.
Well, the only thing they can really do is proper quantitative easing. Now, in his statement, Mario Draghi said that they were considering this option and that some preparatory work would need to be done to see if they could put a program in place. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the weakness of the ECB compared to the other central banks, which is that they have to get a whole lot of countries on board to make a decision, whereas the Fed or the Bank of England simply decides what they're going to do and they do it. And it's unfortunate, but the nature of the beast is such that the ECB simply can't do that.
Very quickly, Khatija, what kind of reaction did we get here in Dubai in the Middle East, talking to the big trading houses who use banks like yours?
It was pretty much in line with expectations, and consequently, there was very little reaction at all.
Right, let's move over to the States, where the US payroll numbers came out, and solid-ish growth, slightly below analysts' expectations, but it was the fourth month in a row of jobs gains. Over 200,000, that's the number that has always been quoted as being sort of, you need 200,000 more jobs every month for growth. 217 was the figure. Are you happy with that?
Absolutely. I think Bloomberg consensus estimates were for 215, so it's pretty much in line with market expectations. It was a good number on a number of levels. But also, the other piece of data that came out of the US last week was that consumer borrowing rose by much more than expected in April. And in particular, credit card growth or borrowing on credit cards was the highest increase since November 2007. So if you look at the two data points together, it does suggest that the consumers in the US are much more confident about their prospects. And consequently, they're actually in a position to now increase borrowing and increase spending on consumption, which suggests that the economy is really getting momentum. And possibly we could see the end of of Fed support.
Usually when we talk to economists about these numbers, they say, oh, well, they're the wrong sort of jobs, or, you know, the actual breakdown is really where the details are, and what, whether it's actually going to cause sustainable employment, if you like. Were these the right sort of jobs that were created?
They were. I mean, the gain was fairly broad-based. So we saw an increase in healthcare sector hiring and also in restaurants. The other interesting aspect of the numbers was that more people seem to be entering the labor force, and that the number of people in full-time work is increasing. So when you look at the underemployed component, so the number of people who are working part-time but who would like to be working full-time, that number has actually dropped quite significantly. So we're starting to see a decline in the long-term unemployment in the US. More people are getting confident enough to start looking for work, and then they're finding that work.
The jobs created in May now means that in the 5 years since the recession started, the US has regained all of the 8.7 million jobs that it lost during the recession. Of course, in that time, though, the population's grown by 7%.
Of course, as has the labour force. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that it's taken 5 years to get back to where they were pre-recession, it's actually quite a long time to get back those jobs lost. So it does show that, you know, we're not completely out of the woods yet. We're not in the territory where the bank needs to be tightening rates aggressively. But certainly, you know, I think the Fed needs to be considering what they're going to do once tapering finishes, and that's probably going to happen in October.
So point us to the week ahead, really, and what are you looking forward to, and what might affect markets?
We have got some data coming out this week in the Eurozone, rather, which would give us some indication on growth there. But it really, I think markets are going to wait to see what the Fed is going to say about, you know, how they're going to manage tightening and monetary policy going forward, because the risk for us is that the central bank in the US is going to find itself behind the curve in the second half of the year, where data continues to be much stronger than expected and economy continues to gain momentum, and they haven't really prepared the markets for a tightening in monetary policy.
Very quickly, Khatija, in terms of interest rates here in the UAE, what impact has it have or will it have if we look at something like the benchmark rate here, the Emirates Interbank Offered Rate? Is it moving on the back of this at all?
No, the interbank rate is moving, but not necessarily on the back of this. So that tends to reflect liquidity conditions in the UAE banking sector. But I think in terms of interest rate policy in the UAE, it's tied to the US because of the peg currency. So the central bank in the UAE won't be doing anything until the Fed actually does something.
Khatija Haque, economist and head of MENA research at Emirates NBD. It's always great getting you in the studio. Thanks indeed for your time today.
Thank you.